So what are the requirements to be a follower of Jesus Christ? What are the requirements to be a Christian? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ has not left us in the dark, but he has given us at least three requirements that are necessary if we would call ourselves a Christian. They are given to us in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. I would like to read these verses. Mark, chapter 8, verses 34 to Mark, chapter 9, verse 1. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking here. And he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And Jesus was saying to them, "Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these words were spoken after Peter's confession, when Jesus asked him, "Who the people say that I am? What is the word on the street about me?" Jesus says. And there were many answers as to who Jesus was coming from people. Some were saying that he was Elijah. Others were saying that he was one of the prophets. Others were saying that he was John the Baptist, who came back alive. There were many different understanding of who Jesus was back in his day. And then Jesus Christ turned the question on his disciples. And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And then Peter, who was the spokesperson for the disciples, he said, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah." In the Gospel of Matthew, the answer from Peter is lengthier. Matthew said that Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then after Peter's response to Jesus' question about his identity, Jesus began to teach them about his suffering. He said that the Son of Man must be rejected by the elders, chief priests and the scribes, and be killed. And then after that, he will rise again after 3 days. And he was telling them this very plainly, very clearly. They had no misunderstanding of what Jesus Christ was telling them about his future suffering and death and resurrection. But the disciples, because they were Jewish, did not understand when Jesus Christ said that he will suffer and die and rose again. So Peter began to rebuke the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to him, no, this would never happen. Why? Because from Peter's understanding, messiahs, and there were many in the first century who came and were saying that they were messiahs. It was a day when, you know, there were heated debates, and there were many who were rising up and saying that they were a messiah. Great expectation of who the Messiah would be, the Messiah who was prophesied in the Old Testament. And there were many who rose up and say that they were the Messiah. And the Messiah, according to the Jewish people's understanding, was one who would come and overthrow those who were ruling the people of Israel, the people of God. The Messiah was one who would come and destroy the Romans and set up God's kingdom. The Messiah is a heroic figure. And so for Jesus to claim that he would suffer and die, that's the most outrageous thing that any Messiah would say, according to the understanding of the Jewish people, because Messiahs are not crucified. They crucify others. You see, because the Jewish people believe that the Messiah would come as a conquering hero, but Jesus turned that upon its head, and he said that it is through his death and resurrection that he will conquer evil. And so, after Peter made that statement to the Lord Jesus Christ in response to Jesus' statement about his death and resurrection, Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Wow, Jesus called Peter the devil. "Get behind me, Satan." But Jesus gives a reason. You see, Peter was influenced by Satan. Jesus is not saying that Peter is the devil, literally. He's saying here that Peter is influenced by the thoughts of Satan. And so Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." Why? Notice, "For you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but on man's." So Peter was focusing on his own interests, not on the interests of God. And in this world, we can either focus on what God is interested in or what we are interested in. We are, you know, on one side or the other. Each of us here this morning is interested in God's, the things of God, or the things of this world. Peter, at this time, was focusing on the things of this world. He did not have the mind of God. And so at this particular juncture, in this conversation, Jesus Christ now taught his disciples what it really means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, what it really means to be a Christian, what it means to be a Christian. He teaches them the requirements. And let me say three things about what Jesus is saying here before we actually look into the passage. May I say, first of all, that these requirements are from Jesus. It is not from a religious guru or a spiritual leader. It is not from the Pope. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, they have authority from God. So these are not the words from any human beings. These are God's requirements. Secondly, these requirements have not changed. The things that were required to be a follower of Jesus Christ in the first century when Jesus Christ spoke these words and beyond are still required today in the 21st century. The same requirements that were given to the disciples and the crowds who were listening to Jesus Christ are the same requirements for today. They have not changed. In other words, what it took to be a Christian back in the first century are the same things that are required to be a Christian today. Have not changed. And thirdly, only those who meet these requirements are true followers of Christ. Let me repeat this. Only those who meet these requirements are Christians. So someone can say that I am a Christian, but if they do not meet the requirements coming from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not really following Jesus Christ. We are following someone else or some other teaching, right? So we must listen to what Jesus says and examine ourselves to see if we are truly followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are true disciples, if we are true Christians. I think that's very important for us. So what are these requirements? Well, the first thing I see here is that if we would be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, first of all, we must have the desire to follow Jesus Christ, a desire that leads to a decision. See what Jesus says in verse 34? He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, if anyone desires. And so to follow Jesus Christ, there must, first of all, be a desire to follow him. No one can be a follower of Jesus Christ by being cajoled by another person or being forced to follow Jesus Christ. Right? Parents can, you know, force their children to attend church or to go to Sunday school. We still have Sunday school. Or to read the Bible, or to pray. Or a wife may force a husband to come to church with her, or to pray, or to read the Bible. But that does not make that person a Christian. It begins with a desire that leads to a decision to follow Jesus Christ. It is, let me say, a personal decision. Yes, following Jesus is personal. The first disciples, in fact, all of the disciples, had to make a personal decision to follow Jesus. Recall the first disciples, Peter and his brother. Recall they were fishing, and Jesus said to them, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And the Bible says that immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. They made a decision. And each of us has to make a personal decision to follow Jesus. A decision that is based upon a desire to follow him. And why is that important? Why is it important for us to have this desire to follow Jesus Christ? Well, if we don't have a desire to follow Jesus Christ and we are following him, at one point or another we will stop following him. If we don't have this desire rooted in our hearts, we must desire the Lord Jesus Christ. And this must be a desire that continues throughout our Christian life. A desire to follow Jesus Christ, followed by a desire for his word, a desire to come to church, a desire to read the Bible, a desire to fellowship with other believers, a desire to work in the house of the Lord. If we don't have a desire to do these things, we would not do them. We would not. So Jesus says, if anyone desires to follow me. Now a disciple is one who follows after. Jesus Christ did not use the word disciple here. He didn't say if anyone wishes to be a disciple. No, he said if anyone desires to come behind me. That's what a disciple is. A disciple is one who follows. A disciple is one who stays behind his master. And that's important because as followers of Jesus Christ, we should never seek to run ahead of him. We should stay behind him and seek his leading, his guidance in our lives. And we do that by studying what he says in his word, listening to what he says, and by praying to him and asking him to lead us. A disciple never takes the lead. A disciple is one who follows and learns and grows. In fact, a disciple is one who seeks to be just like his or her master. That was the goal, that was the aim. To follow and to do exactly what the master says to do. So following Jesus Christ begins, first of all, with a desire that leads to a decision. And that is a condition upon which we follow Jesus Christ, we become Christians. But the next requirement, I must say, is the one that's very difficult. Notice the second requirement. Notice in verse 34. If anyone wishes to come after me, he says he must deny himself. He must deny himself. So discipleship also includes self-denial. And in the context of what Jesus is saying here, it is very plain what he meant by self-denial. You recall Peter, after Jesus told him about his impending death and resurrection, and Peter rebuked the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 32. And then Jesus said to him, that you're setting your mind on men's interest. And it is natural for us as human beings to set our minds on the interests of humans. So when the Lord Jesus Christ says here that if anyone desires to follow him, he must deny himself. Jesus is saying here that we must deny our personal interests. We must put God's interest ahead of our interests. We must put God's kingdom ahead of our own little kingdoms. That's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now it is natural, as I said before, for us as human beings to seek after our own personal interests. Now let me say what Jesus Christ is not saying here. Jesus Christ is not saying that we should not seek after our daily needs, our daily interests. He is not saying that we should not seek after our own personal daily needs, feeding ourselves, clothing ourselves, providing for our families, taking care of ourselves. That's not what Jesus Christ is saying here. But what he's saying is that if there are any things that we are interested in that are hindrances to following Jesus Christ, then we must set them aside. If there are any things in our lives that would take precedence over God's will in our lives, we must put them aside. In another passage, Jesus said to his disciples that, you know, if they do not forsake father and mother and husbands and wives, they cannot be his disciples. And for a first century Jew, Israelite, that's a shocking statement. Because as far as the Israelites were concerned, in fact, the Lord said to them, children, obey your father and mother. Obey your parents in the Lord. So it was required for them to obey their parents. They must give allegiance to parents. And Jesus comes along and he says that if you do not hate father and mother, you cannot follow me. No wonder many of the Pharisees wanted to stone Jesus to death, because how could he make such a statement, seemingly contradicting the law? But what Jesus Christ was saying there, it's not that they should literally hate their parents. But what he's saying is that the priority that must be given to Jesus Christ, the love that we should give to the Lord Jesus Christ compared to the love of those who are close to us, fathers and mothers, would look as if we hate them. But Jesus Christ is not saying that we should literally hate them, because that would lead to murder. But no, he's saying that we should love him so much, we should dedicate our lives to him so much that it would seem as if we hate our parents. And may I say, there are many Christians in other parts of the world outside of North America who are considered to be lost as far as their families are concerned when they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many Christians in other parts of this world that are abandoned by their families when they make a decision to follow Christ. When they are saved, they are persecuted. But that's what Jesus says we ought to do. We must deny ourselves. We must deny ourselves anything that would stand in the way of following Christ. The pleasures of this world, the desires of the flesh. People and things, anything that would stand in the way. And self-denial is tough, but that's what Jesus requires. See, there are many Christians, so-called Christians today, who want to have Jesus and self at the same time, but it's not possible. We either deny God or deny ourselves. We cannot deny both to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ here is not making a request. He's stating a command. He's saying that to be a disciple is equivalent to denying ourselves. Therefore, if one does not deny himself or herself, it means that he or she is not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we put our plans and our programs and our desires ahead of Christ, we're not a Christian. We're not following him. The next requirement, Jesus says, take up his cross. Take up his cross. You know what, 21st century there, people who wear crosses. Is there anyone here this morning who has a cross on your chain, around your neck? That's good. Well, in Jesus' day, when someone takes up the cross, it is a sign that they are heading towards death, crucifixion. When someone takes up the cross, it's a public display of death. And the Romans used crucifixion, death on a cross, to give a warning to anyone who desires to form a revolt against the government, that the person who is walking down the road with a cross, if you seek to revolt against the government, this will be your fate. You will carry a cross to your death. The cross also signifies shame, because death on a cross was the most despicable, shameful death. The most despicable form of death was crucifixion. The criminal who carried the cross is publicly being shamed by the Romans. So all can see this person condemned to death. It's the most shameful form of death, crucifixion. So Jesus says that if anyone desires to follow him, he must deny himself, take up the cross. Notice that taking up the cross is something that we do voluntarily, willingly. Jesus does not say that the cross will come upon you accidentally. And so the cross here is not like a fever that comes or a little sickness that comes upon us and we endure for a few days, or some disease that come upon us and we have to endure. No, that's not what it means to take up the cross. To take up the cross is to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ and be willing to suffer and die for him. That's what it means to take up the cross. To be willing and ready to die for the gospel's sake. For the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And each of us who desire to follow Christ must make the decision. This decision, we must be willing and ready to suffer and die for the cause of Christ. So when we're talking about bearing the cross, when the Bible talks about bearing the cross, it's not talking simply about, you know, the little things that we experience on a daily basis as a part of life. Cross bearing has to do with suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ, suffering for his name. And if we are not willing and ready to suffer for the name of Christ, then we have to ask ourselves, are we really following him? And we are living in a day when, indeed, this is a prime time to take up our cross. Students in school, employees in your workplaces, where the name of Jesus Christ is cursed, where Christianity is outlawed, even in North America. These are prime days for us to take up our cross for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. And we don't have to be afraid to take up our cross to follow. We don't have to be afraid to suffer and even die for Christ. Because when we do that, we are actually following Jesus himself. He took up the cross and he died. And what happened? He rose again. So when we follow Christ, even if we follow him to the death, be assured, my friends, there is resurrection. So not even death can hinder our following of Christ. Let Satan and all his minions seek to persecute and kill God's children. There is coming a day when God will vindicate us by raising us from the dead victoriously. And even if we suffer a physical persecution for Christ in this life, it is only for a time. Paul said that the sufferings of this life is not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to follow. And the more we suffer for Christ, is the more we enjoy his presence. So we must have a desire to follow Christ. We must deny ourselves. We must take up our cross. But if we do that, it doesn't necessarily mean that we are Christians. Because if we leave out the last part, the third statement, then we are not really following Christ. Notice he says, Jesus says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And that's important. Because to be a Christian, to be a disciple of Christ, we must follow a person. That's what it means to be a Christian. Jesus says to follow me. Because to be a Christian is not to be a person who follows a particular creed or a particular church teaching or some particular doctrine. I love creeds, I love doctrine, I love theology. And I'm sure most of you do. But ultimately, I don't follow the teachings of any particular church. I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, to follow a person. That's what it means to be a Christian. Thank God for the teachings of the church. Thank God for the creeds that summarize our beliefs, our theology. But ultimately, all of these creeds must lead to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what it means to be a Christian, to follow a person. Not following the teachings of some great saint in the past or any church of today. And so the obvious question is, are we actually following Jesus Christ? Is he the one who is actually leading us? And the question that follows then is, how do I know that I'm following Jesus Christ? Well, we cannot go wrong if we follow the book, his words. Yes, we listen to preachers, we read other books, but ultimately, each of us must get into his word and hear what Jesus Christ is saying. Because following Jesus Christ is a personal decision that each of us must make through the power of the Holy Spirit, of course. We're not talking about how all this happens. We're simply saying that it is a personal decision that flows from a personal desire to follow a man named Jesus, who is God. And this man, Jesus, he left the glories of heaven. Let me tell you more about him. This man, Jesus, he was born in Bethlehem. But he was not just a man, because he had no human father. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Not in the same way as human beings are conceived. He had no earthly father. But he was conceived in the womb of a virgin. And he was born, and he grew. He never committed any sin. He obeyed his father totally. He did everything that was right and perfect in the sight of his father. But the world did not accept him. And so they put him on a cross. They crucified him, thinking that they were doing God a favor. But God, who was his father, raised him from the dead 3 days on the third day after he was crucified. After he was buried, rather. And he came back victoriously. And he met with his disciples, the same ones whom he was speaking to here in Mark chapter 8. He spoke to them. And then after 50 days after his resurrection, he ascended into the presence of his Father. He returned to glory. And the disciples who followed him, they continue to proclaim his message of grace. They were not proclaiming their own beliefs. They were proclaiming what he told them, because they followed him, they saw him. And this is the man that we ought to follow, the man who is God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us take his words to heart. Let us believe what he says, what it means to be a Christian, to desire to follow him, to deny ourselves anything that would hinder us from following him, to be willing and ready to die for him. And then let us make sure that we are following a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your Son, whom you gave to us. Help us to make sure that we are following him. In his name, amen and amen.